welcome everyone. Pastor Paul here, and you who are watching via live stream, I'm going to pull my Bible on out. Let's get our Bible and a bulletin. If in fact you don't have a Bible, let's see if we can get the lights on over here on this side. It looks a little dark on the far rails. Good job. That's good. Oh yeah, look at, they all look good over there. Now I can see some glowy faces. Hey, you know, there's a guy named Jim Thornton in our church, and rumor has it, today's his birthday, and they're actually even saying how old he is, but that's for his, that's his bragging rights. He'll tell you all about that. Anybody need a Bible, please feel free to raise your hand or check out our password for the Wi-Fi here over in the far corner. Thank you for that. Going to the book of Genesis. Hey, drive-through prayers, just awesome all week. And then we get this tailgate party tonight. And matter of fact, somebody was just saying, I was just telling my husband, man, I remember when Hope Chapel used to do tailgate parties. Well, it's happening. They were so thrilled. And maybe you're not aware of that, but you need to check it out. And Arturo, we were talking how to do the taco lady. You're like, but all of a sudden, we remember Arturo Aguilar and his many cast iron grills. And we said, would you be our taco table guy? And he loved the idea. So he is chopping up. I saw the amount of food he has on display. Please come check it out. But it's not just about that. It's just about community. And just realizing in the beautiful just situation how we get to enjoy life together. We really do. And so for Ainsley and me, we pull up my truck, drop the tailgate, put out the beach chairs, bring your beach chairs, blanket. It's just a lot of fun, and we have just a hoot, a real hoot. Did anybody say that anymore? Hoot, hoot. All right. Let's take a look. Here we go. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you, Lord, for helping us understand your word. Open our eyes. So that nobody's left behind and saying, that's a waste of my time. But Lord, you can do something where it's not just this time, but it launches us into time and eternity in great ways. And everybody agrees, say amen? Let's do that. Hey, I'm in Exodus chapter 25. You'll see on the back of your bulletin, hoping you'll take notes. These things, times like this, helps us with some perspective. Because today's message is entitled Twilight Years of a Saint. We are wrapping things up for our study, our series on Abraham. The series was Making a Difference. And man, if there's anybody we wanted to study, it was Abraham's life. Because this dude made an impact. He made a difference. And today we are taking a look at the twilight years. We get a glimpse of the latter years as well as his death and his burial. So it's very important. But we're talking about aging. And many times, it's interesting. I don't know if you remember those days. Maybe you're here right now where you're so young, you realize, man, I'm never going to grow old. It's just not a, you're with your friends. Like, we will never grow old. We really mean we'll never grow up. But we will never, because people are afraid of aging. They don't want to address that. So I'm going to help you here. I came across these quips that if in fact, these don't apply to you, then you're still pretty young at heart. You'll know if you are old if, here they are, if your names listed in your black book all end with the letters MD. You will know if you're getting old when you get winded playing chess. You will know if you're old when you sink your teeth into a big steak and your teeth remain in the meat. You will know if you try to straighten up the wrinkles in your socks and realize you don't have socks on. You'll know if you're old when your pacemaker accidentally opens the garage door. Just saying. And you'll know if you're getting old when you bend over to tie your shoes and you wonder what else you could do while you're down here. All right. But it is interesting because we're taking a look at Abraham's life, and we were just in chapter 24. The dude was old then. Now he's going to be 175. This guy's a relic. Everybody say relic. Yeah, so let's all feel better about ourselves. This guy is old, and it's important. And so when we see here, I remember the first time I had my first senior citizen discount. Ainsley and I, my wife, we were dining. And the back of the menu says 55 and up. And I said, I qualify for this. And the server says, yeah, I'll give you the discounted steak, realizing it's a much smaller portion. But I like a discount. Then I realize, what have I done? I've transitioned into the senior zone. It was a hard fact. Anyway, I do like discounts, but that was a tough one. I found that there are times, all of a sudden, it can be most disturbing for people when they kind of forget things. And I was just laughing with a few that are telling me all their memory exercises. But as we get old, we kind of forget things. Isn't it true? Heard a story about a person that forgot their item upstairs, like a slippers. And as they were going upstairs, stopped at the landing and realized, what am I going upstairs for? Only to realize, as they're thinking, was I going upstairs or downstairs? They didn't know which way they were going. And two elderly ladies at church, they were just commenting about the problems of growing old, that the worst thing is that your mind starts to kind of go and your memory starts to fade. And one lady says, you know what, friend, I have known you for years, and I cannot remember your name. What is your name? The other woman says, well, do you need that information right now? So sometimes we kind of forget that. But attitude really is so, so important as we start to grow older. Somebody said, there are none so old as those who have outlived enthusiasm. So it's great to keep active. It's great to keep enthused. And we started this series on Abraham. We picked up when he was already married to Sarah. We don't know his early years. So now we're coming to the end of his life. And probably the one line here is, it's not how you start, it's how you end. Everybody realize that? And you're all here still breathing. Man, it's how you end. It isn't how you start. Some of us still look over the past, man. There's a lot of living still ready to go. But I've come across four words I think describe last years, the twilight years, and we want to glean it from Abraham. I'm in verse 1, Genesis chapter 25. If you'll follow along with me, let's look just a few verses through verse 11. Abraham, again, took a wife, and her name was Keturah, and she bore him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shuah. And Jokshan begot Sheba and Dedan. And the sons of Dedan were Asherim, Litsuim, and Limam. And the sons of Midian were Eph and Epher, Hanak, and Abidah, and Eleb. And all these were the children of Keturah. And Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. But Abraham gave gifts to the sons of the concubines, which Abraham had. And while he was still living, he sent them eastward away from Isaac, his son, to the country of the east. And this is the sum of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived 175 years. Then Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. And his sons, Isaac and Ishmael, buried him in the cave of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the field of Ephron, the sons of Zor, the Hittite, the field which Abraham purchased from the sons of Heth. And there Abraham was buried, and Sarah his wife. And it came to pass, after the death of Abraham, that God blessed his son, Isaac, and Isaac dwelt in at Beer Lahai-Roi. Let's take a look here. Four words. First, our first point, remarried life. Let's go back to verse 1. Verse 1, once again, Abraham again took a wife, and her name was Keturah. Now, it's interesting here. First of all, Keturah means perfumed or fragrant one, and that probably was something about her that maybe, I mean, as a Bedouin, and you're kind of surrounded with livestock, that'd probably be nice to have somebody a little more fragrant, but we know she is a concubine of Abraham. Not only is there mentioned of that, but 1 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 32 talks about Keturah, Abraham's concubine. So in dealing with this, I just want to add, let's look here for a moment. We're about Abraham's life. When Sarah died, he was 137 years old. That's old. He's going to live another 38 years to at 175. He's got 38 strong years left to go. And in that, isn't it interesting? Because you might say, well, she's only after him for his money. Why is he getting married? Maybe it's like he's got this midlife crisis. He's looking for a Corvette to go with the new model. You know what I mean? But it's not that. They probably knew each other naturally, that she loved him and he loved her and they became married. That's important to note. But it is worth noting here because as people get older, you can still find love and enjoy love. Companionship's important. It's been said in 1900s, that it was basically 4% of the American population was 65 years of age and older. But today, there is 12% of the population is 65% of age or older. Now, that's three times the original. That's quite a bit. And they're saying now that there's about 12,000 Americans that are 100 years of age or older. And that's something, isn't it? So they're out there, and here we have Abraham still has 38 good years, and love does not diminish from him. So it's important he gets remarried. Now, I want to do a little side note here since we're talking about that, remarried. I think it's helpful, and this is where it's always good to say, man, I needed that information. I'm going to write that down. First of all, Keturah has one son whose name is Midian, who becomes the father of the Midianites, who are arch enemies of Israel. Now, we are not sure about Keturah's faith. She may not have had the faith of Sarah. So we're not quite sure, but we do know that it's worth noting the caution when people remarry. That's what I just want to bring up. Sometimes when we remarry, sometimes out of haste or sometimes out of despair or loneliness, it may not be the remedy we really want. Relationships immediately crumble, and right away we jump into another one. I want to read a letter from a woman that she wrote quite a while ago. Here it is. She said this. Tomorrow, she said, I will be married 6 years, but it's not a happy occasion because I'm going through a divorce. I met my husband in a Bible study. We would study the scriptures together, pray together, go to Christian activities, but then we got married and things changed. It was divorce that we're going through now, and I'll probably not marry again for the kids' sake and also to follow the Lord's way. But I will be honest, deep down in my heart, I wish I could find a good man who loved the Lord and lived as the Lord commands. I really yearn for companionship, even if it's just friendship. I've been married three times, and I had to support them all. So when we take a look here, Sarah's death enables Abraham to marry again at 137 years of age. People will say, well, what are the reasons I can marry? I do like 1 Corinthians, and you may want to write it down, chapter 7, verse 39. 1 Corinthians 7, 39 says, a wife is bound by law as long as her husband lives, but if her husband dies, she is at liberty to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. So make sure this new spouse is in Christ, not just one that's a member of something, but one that's a devout follower of Jesus. You like to have the same building blocks if you're going to build a relationship together. It's like two contractors, right? One says, I'm going to build a 20-complex condo. And the other says, I just want a 12 by 40 square foot home, single. And you're going to have a complication that's going on there. But let me now just quickly pass on four reasons for Christians to remarry. Here they are. And I know you'll write them down. I know you'll help somebody. Four reasons. Here they are. Number one, because of sexual immorality, and the other is unrepentant about that. That's found in Matthew chapter 19, verse 9. Matthew 19, verse 9. Second reason, that the person is deserted by an unbeliever. Sometimes people get into Jesus and they're so stoked about that, but the other one says, I hate anything of religion, I despise God, and they abandon their spouse. 1 Corinthians 7:15 says just that. The Apostle Paul's writing under the Holy Spirit says, man, if the unbelieving spouse departs, let him depart. God calls you to peace. So that's important. Number three, because marriage and divorce happened prior to conversion. What do I mean by conversion? It means that person was not even born again, had no fear of God. They were godless. And man, it just ransacked kind of relationship, and the marriage and divorce happened before. So that's important to know, because 1 Corinthians 5:17 says this, that if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. And then the fourth and final reason for a Christian to remarry is the death of a spouse. And that's where we're back here with regards to Abraham. So let's look at number two, a renewed life. A renewed life. In his old age, he's got this renewed life going on. Look at verses 2 through 4 lists these offspring that he has. So the names are listed. There are six sons that are listed. There are seven grandsons that are listed. We read the names. And three great-grandsons. So he has these six sons. If you put also then Isaac and Ishmael, then Abraham has a total of eight sons. And that's not to list the daughters that he may have had. But it is noting here, it's worth noting, that God just blessed this man. 175 years, and he continues to be quite prolific. It's interesting to note. It's kind of like the Ephesians really 3:20, now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. This is interesting, because when we note here, Abraham in his old age still having children, and I convinced it's a supernatural happening of God that he's able to have so many children still. Let me show you, because first, let's go back to chapter 17. I'm still in Genesis, so let's go back a couple of chapters. Chapter 17, let's look at verse 6. This is where God is declaring, again, the covenant, and especially that you're going to have some children. Look at verse 6. This is where God says, I'm going to do it. Verse 6 says, I will make you exceedingly fruitful. Can you see that right there? There it is. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. You say, well, sometimes we just read right over that. But listen, when God says, I'm going to do this for you, this is going to come. And let me tell you, it could be, we like to take it from a positive perspective. When he says, I'm going to do this, I'm going to make you exceedingly fruitful, he's going to do it. This is a supernatural happening that he's up there in 137, 38 years, he's still having children. How did it happen? Supernaturally. And when God said this to Abraham, he was 99 years of age. He even laughed. He fell down thinking, this is hilarious. Check out verse 17. Same chapter 17. Verse 17, then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? So even he said, no way, no way. How did he still have children? God said, I'm going to make you exceedingly fruitful. Has God told you something? Are you still waiting on something in particular? I'm telling you, that's the beauty of getting into this book. Somewhere along the line, among these 3,000 promises of God, and that's, I love describing these as love letters to you. When people say, I'm believing this word, I've got this one verse, it's profound, because nothing keeps God's word from happening. When God speaks something, going to take place. And so we just want to take a look at how this man is being renewed at such an older age. How did that happen? That's what we're talking about here. God can do it. It's an amazing thing. Paul the Apostle writes in Romans chapter 4, verse 17, he takes this occasion of Abraham and said, God who gives life to the dead, Even Abraham said, man, I am dried up. So is my wife. How's this going to happen? God who gives life to the dead, Romans 4, 17, and calls those things which do not exist as though they do. So you hang in there. If you're hanging around some doubtful people and say, I don't think it's ever going to happen, but you have a word from God, hang on to God's word. That's why it's nice to surround yourself with people that are people of faith. Abraham was that man of faith. And it's important. It's vital. So he's remarried. He's renewed in his strength and purposes of God and the promises in him. It's amazing. So somewhere along the line, remember that book that says old age is not for sissies? And it came up with just some things that were just kind of easy markers. One was is that as people start to wind down on their energy levels, three things happen to them. First of all, they just complicate that energy level with guilt. Guilt of the past. Guilt. Second thing is just fear. They don't have the energy to fight it, but they're filled with fear for the future, fearful about disease, fearful about maybe no income. They're dealing with fear about being lonely or vulnerable. Then the other one is just somewhere they start feeling a uselessness comes on them. Well, that shouldn't be. It really shouldn't be. Where people feel useless, and that's wrong because, man, for those who have such great background, exposure, and wisdom, experience, there's so much that's out there, so much. And they're very capable of being great contributors. Here's some examples of people in their aged area. They went for it. Moses, at age 80, was called to be the deliverer of Israel. We have Caleb. Remember that dude? At age 85, him and Joshua were the two positive spies, and God used him to help clean the land in battle after battle after battle. And at 85 years of age, he's standing on Hebron and says, man, my strength and youthfulness has not diminished since I stepped foot on the promised land, and I'm going to take that hill. And he does. What a dude. And you come along and say, well, you know, those are like Bible people. They're supposed to say that stuff. Well, yeah, but I knew you would think that. So here's some outside the Bible people. Michelangelo painted his greatest work at 89 years of age, lay on his back doing the Sistine Chapel. Amazing. Also, we have William Gladstone, Christian Prime Minister of England, at 83, his fourth term as Prime Minister. Incredible. Also, we have J.C. Penney. I like that guy of the merchandise store. Said J.C. Penney continued to hold office hours at 95 years of age. Yeah, must have had something on the ball. And John Wesley, at 88 years of age, preached eloquently, they said. And he went about 250,000 miles. And you traveled by horseback in that day. I mean, it's got to be an achy bone somewhere. But preaching 4,000 sermons and people responding to Jesus. So that old phrase, the older the fiddle, the sweeter the tune. Isn't that neat? I like that. Yeah, something really happens. Agatha Christie, she wrote this. She said, the best husband a woman can have is an archaeologist because the older she gets, the more interested he becomes in her. If I throw that in there. Somebody asked this woman who is married to a mortician, because they were inquiring, said, man, you've been married 4 times. She said, well, my first 3 husbands died. I've been widowed 3 times. My first husband, she says, was a banker. And my second husband was an actor. And my third husband was a minister, a preacher. Now I'm married to a mortician. She says, you know, it worked out for me because 1 for the money, 2 for the show, 3 to get ready, and 4 to go. All right. You'll get it. Tell somebody, say, can you repeat that? So So number three is responsible life. Let's take a look. Responsible life. In verse 5, I'm back now at chapter 25, verse 5. And Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac, but Abraham gave gifts to the sons of the concubines, which Abraham had. And while he was still living, he sent them eastward away from Isaac, his son, to the country of the east. Now, it's interesting because we're talking about a responsible life. We are looking at Abraham's will here. It's a very short and succinct will. He gave everything to Isaac, and he also distributed some gifts to the other kids that he had. And then he set them up where they should live. That's interesting to note, the responsibility here. And we all need to develop a will. We've talked about that. We've used those elements of living trust. It's just a part of life. Matter of fact, for men, there's 7 decades, guys. We've talked about that before in smaller settings. Here are the 7 decades. You know, the first age 1 to 10 is called spills. That's number 1. So it goes spills, drills, thrills, bills, ills, pills, and wills. Okay, I just thought it. But we have here Abraham is on his wills decade. And he's putting it on out there. And I want to highlight here because we have Midian, these other boys of his become great participators in developing the Arab nations. But Isaac develops then the Jewish nation. But we see something here, and I think the takeaway, the point is that age does not entitle Abraham to become irresponsible. He doesn't just say, listen, I'm up there 170 plus years and I'm just going to now retire, sit back, do nothing about it. He doesn't do that. He's responsible and he sets up his will. We've got to be careful about that. See, it doesn't work that way in life to say, I'm now going to do nothing. It's never that way in life. Matter of fact, all of you, even today, episodes that you're going through today are building for something of your future tomorrow. Maybe even this message. Build something for the future tomorrow. So we can't just say, well, I don't need to do anything anymore. That's not the way life rolls. It really does not. Probably the best advice the prophet Isaiah gave to King Hezekiah when he came in, he said these words, get your house in order because you're going to die of this disease. What? That's good advice. I mean, we're all mortal and it's important to consider that. Get your house in order. It's important. Pick somebody out to sit on your throne. Get your affairs wrapped up. It's helpful because we never think we'll ever need to do that. But we want to provide for our family moving forward. Abraham does that. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, 1 Timothy 5, 8 says, if anyone does not provide for his own and for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Now, that word provide in the Greek literally means to plan for or in advance. Provide. It's not just coming home with a paycheck every week. But say, I am now aged enough, I know what could probably happen after I go or what you should prepare for. Let me help you. So provide for your family. So Jesus did that, did he not? He's on the cross, suffering for our sins. Pain raked through his body, looks down at his earthly mom, Mary, and says, behold your son. Looking at John. And John, behold your mother. Even dealing, providing for his family. I like Psalm 92. You may want to check it out and write it down. Verse 12 through verse 15, it says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, and he will grow like the cedars of Lebanon. And it continues saying, to those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will be fresh and flourishing. That's amazing to come along there. Denotes growth and fruitfulness, not stagnation. Doesn't say anything about, I'm just going to stop and pull away from society, avoid all complicated matters. Can't. You're too rich in knowledge and experience. You're too wealthy for the generation coming on. It's important for us. Here's a prayer worth repeating. Let me read it to you. It says this, Lord, you know I'm growing older. Keep me from the idea that I must express myself on every subject. Release me from the craving to meddle in everybody's affairs. Keep my tongue from the recital of endless details of the past which don't interest others. Seal my lips when I am inclined to talk about my aches and pains. They are increasing with the years, and my love to speak of them grows sweeter as time goes by. Teach me the glorious lesson that occasionally I may be wrong. Make me thoughtful but not interfering, helpful but not bossy. With wisdom and experience that I've gained, it does seem a pity not to use it all, but thou knowest, Lord, that I want a few friends left in the end. So help me pray more and talk less, and behold all this, let me continue to flourish spiritually and bring forth fruit to thy glory even in my old age. Amen. I like that prayer. I want to kind of remember certain things about that. That person must know about Psalm 92, still fresh and flourishing even in their old age. Well, number four, let's check it out. Reviewed life. In these five verses, we really check out the obituary of Abraham here. So let's look at that just for a moment, because verse 7 says, this is the sum of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived 175 years. Then Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. And his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah, which is before Mamre in the field of Ephron, the sons of Zor, the Hittite. The field which Abraham purchased from the sons of Heth, and there Abraham was buried, and Sarah his wife. And it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt in Beer-lah-roi. So Isaac now starts to become the rising star. Here we go. Isaac now assumes the family business. And it's interesting here because we have Abraham. He walked with God 100 years. He's called a friend of God for 100 years. What a great ending to review something like this. When we did our family business in Pasadena, it was called Quality House. And right there in Pasadena was the headquarters. One of our big accounts was called Through the Bible Radio with J. Vernon McGee. He was kind of old then. But I remember that he was cresting 80, and he says, God's going to be the one that tells me I should retire. And sure enough, a couple years later, God took him home. It's interesting how those things happen to a person. So we deal with something that's so vital. It's worth noting a couple of phrases here. Let's look right there. When it says in verse 8, then Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years. Now, when you take a look at that, when you say, okay, full of years, it sounds kind of tedious, hard, painful. Nobody wants to outlive their body. But it's interesting. It's talking more of the quality of life, full of years. It's really expressing, Hebrew scholars literally say, died satisfied with life. What a way to go. Man, no regrets. And if there were, God pulled it out for me. Satisfied and full of life. Calvin suggests a good conscience and a serene and tranquil mind. Isn't that beautiful? There's been times I take a look and you talk sometimes with some of our great senior saints, and I always find that sometimes older people can have these three ingredients. First of all, they look back in their life with, again, regret. They look forward and they have fear. They really are afraid. And they look around and they have nothing but complaint. That's no good. It's no fun to live a life like that. Die old and full of days, no regrets, satisfied with life. I like the fact, it's just so amazing. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. I've always taken a look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. If you ever get a chance, check it out. King Solomon, supposed to be the wisest man who ever was, his whole life becomes an experience to see, can I find satisfaction under the sun, which means apart from God. You want to have a life that's complicated, try to do it without God. But it's interesting, he tries, and there is no limits to his wealth or servants or his ability to marry like 1,000 women. Come on. And he comes up and says, it's still empty, void, vanity of vanities. But he says this, he says, serve the Lord while you're young. And he lists it poetically before your body just kind of ages out. Go for it. Serve the Lord. That's his sum conclusion of his, I call it Ecclesiastes, the great experience and experiment. So with that in mind, a godly life that brings a godly death. Isn't that cool? Love that. Let me pray for you right now. Let's go ahead and close our Bibles and just pray. Father, we thank you. How wonderful you are. And Lord, as we just enjoy you and the way with which we admire so many things about Abraham, but we come to the conclusion, it's not so much Abraham's faith in God, but your faithfulness to Abraham. Lord, thank you for being faithful to each and every one of us. And we're here today listening, or those watching, that Lord, you want to remind them, I want a relationship with you too. So Lord, move in our hearts to say it's time to heighten my awareness and the enjoyment of having a relationship with Almighty God, the same one we read about in the scriptures. Thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet. Let me come back and pray off a blessing. Let's sing this song together. So grateful for our worship team. What a great Sunday. What a great Sunday. One other description about Abraham. He died old and full of days, and he was gathered to his people. That phrase, gathered to his people, we know there was just one other person in the tomb, that was Sarah. So it's not talking about that. Most understand he was gathered to heaven, to glory, with other people like him who had faith in God. Gathered to his people. That's a great phrase. We don't really use that much, but it kind of sounds like, well, we could just say God gathered us. It's not an accident you and I are here this morning. God gathered us, and we're sure glad. We hope that you'll continue to make Hope Chapel just that, a gathering place with like-minded people who are passionate about Jesus. I want to just add this too, because if there are those individuals who would have a discounted conversation or do not have confidence, don't believe in Jesus as their own personal Lord and Savior, there will be a gathering as well to with those people that don't believe in Jesus. That individual will be gathered to their people as well, but that's hell. It's very clearly laid out in Scripture. So it is good for us to recognize our need for a Savior. His name is Jesus. He came to set us free and to give us a promise of eternal life. Just before we go, can I invite you to close your eyes and let me just lead you in a simple and a short, just self-inflection of prayer of your need for Jesus and be willing to accept him now in his offer of eternal life. You talk to him like this: Dear Jesus, I do believe that you are the Savior. And this moment, I make you my Savior. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my God. Lead me, O Lord, in the way you want me to live. Help me, O God, to help others as well, till the day you bring me home in heaven with you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Well, thank you, friends, and thank you for who prayed that maybe online. I do want to encourage you, if you prayed that prayer, we do have a welcome table, and we have a Bible there and a What Next pamphlet, but keep coming to Hope Chapel. You know, these environments like this just really remind, oh, man, that's who I am. I'm a believer in Jesus. I'm somebody that's different than society. I should be all about the kingdom, and it helps to be in this environment. So let me pray that prosperity over all of you, but especially you who prayed that prayer. Father, thank you for your goodness. May the grace of God and the joy of the Lord fill each person's heart. Lord, for those that may have once feared aging and maybe any form of pain or discomfort that they heard from others it can bring, remove that in the name of Jesus. And Lord, let us look forward to what it is to grow old gracefully, but your grace now come upon all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, everybody, God bless you. We'll see you tonight at 6. Don't forget the tail and the gate. Tailgate party. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.